الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the continuation of the series How to Build the Muslim Family and How to Live as a Muslim Family in a Non-Muslim Culture and to be a positive partner in it. I talked about the major elements of the Muslim character, and I talked about the purpose of the message of Islam, and I talked also about, last week, I talked about the roadmap, what is the direction, what are those regulations that control the way that we live. And we found out that it is in Surah Al-Asr, the major element that do exist. So now, one more thing we need to know is how to maintain. Now we have a Muslim character, been built the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, if you understand and apply what's in the message of Islam. Now it comes another issue, which is that issue is this: like anything else in life, when it is moving, you need it to maintain it. But here we do not only need to maintain, because we know from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mighty and power, Allah mighty, He is doing the two major processes at the same second. He is doing the process of the growth and the maintenance at the same second. If just the maintenance by itself is an issue, it is a miracle by itself. The growing by itself is an issue. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting the two together, and whatever action it is already leading to the two. So when we're talking about maintenance in Islam or maintenance to this, we are talking about maintenance and growth in the same time. So I'm going to ask, what are you talking about here? What is the maintenance and what is the growth? Maintenance, that means giving the same performance with highest possible quality. That's maintenance. Why you take your car to the shop? To have the same performance. But growing means what? Increasing your capability. Increasing your capability. If this car can, for instance, can, but per tank can give you 300 miles, for instance. Now, you're increasing the capability, or you are doing maintenance and efficiency to it. So next time it is growing, maybe with the same tank it can give you 350, or after that 400. There is a growing process while there are a maintenance. But what are those tools that it's supposed to be maintenance? They are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordaining on us to maintain, but unfortunately we misuse them. It is something very, very awkward is to use something as a tool to and turn it as a goal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He ordained on us the five major pillars of Islam, which is the declaration of the faith, the prayer, fasting, zakah, and hajj al-bayt liman istata'a ilayhi sabila, the hajj, are those goals or they are tools? Sometimes we think that they are goals, and that's a major problem. Why? Because we all the time using them as a goals. Goals that mean when I do them, I am done. I can now do anything that I want. I am different. But tools mean what? I am using the tool to develop something else, which is the character. So when you perform something, the carpenter, when he takes the hammer or scissor or whatever they use, he's not doing it just, he's using it. Maybe the goal is to make a chair or to make a table or to make a door or to make something. That is the goal. And actually the same thing here. You're supposed to learn how to be a craftsman using these tools to develop yourself. So to develop and to maintain the Muslim character. And let us see very quickly how is that and what is the requirement. But to use these tools, there are three things that we have to keep in mind all the time. We have to keep it in mind. Number one, know what you are doing. Never mimic anybody. Never mimic anybody. You don't do anything just because the culture is doing it, or a group of people doing it, or a countryman doing it. You have to know exactly what you're doing. If you're going to do the prayer, for instance, you have to understand how to make the wudu and why. You have to understand all the legislation that is related to it. We are not asking anybody to be a scholar, but you have to know what you do. So don't mimic anybody in doing that. You have to understand how Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam been doing it, and you do that. The second thing, if I don't know why I'm doing it, what is the purpose of doing it? I have to know the goal. And we're going to know some of those goals today, inshallah. What is the goal? What am I getting out of it? What is the benefit? And I have to have something out of it. Or otherwise, why should I do it? The third thing that got to be in my mind, what will happen if I don't do it? If I don't do it, it is equal like what I did it. If I did or I didn't, it wouldn't make any difference. Why should I bother? I have to know and all the time keep life how to do, why I am doing it, and what will happen if I don't do it. Now, let us take those five major pillars that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained on us. The first one, the declaration of the faith, al-shahada. Al-shahada by its own self is going to take a lot more khutbah. But I'm going to try to make it very, very simple and basic. What does the shahada means? Are you testifying when you say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? If that's what it means? Only? What is it that added or benefit when I come and say sun is out today? Sun is out anyway. What is that I benefit out of this? Or somebody, it is there. So I testify that there is existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah exists anyway. Allah exists anyway. When I come and say Muhammad Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, Muhammad Rasulullah anyway. It doesn't have to be the Muslim that they will try to prove it, because scientifically now it's been proven. Regardless of how this area is handled and dealt with, and how the scholars and philosophers, at least in the last 2 centuries, what they've been doing about that issue. But what is the bottom line of it? What does the word shahada means? It is not only the declaration of those two facts, but it is a contract. You are saying, I am committing myself. La ilaha. Ilaha, that means what? The one that I'll submit to. That means I submit to none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or by another word, to make it, because submission, what it, the essence of the backbone of submission means what? Obeying. I shall not obey none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear, we obey. So the shahada, the first part, you are saying, I shall obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according and following the footsteps of who? Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the La ilaha illallah. If their obligations got generated out of that contract, yes. Definitely there is some obligations came out of that contract. Number one, you have to do your best. You have to do, as long as you are alive, you have to do your best to learn and to apply. To learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do and what Allah does not want you to do, and apply the way that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. فَكَانَ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. You have the best role example in who? In Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's the first obligation, that you will do your best to learn and apply. Second, you will do your best to propagate. You will do yourself your best to propagate by al-qudwa al-hasana, not by only talking or conversation or debating, but your behavior gonna propagate. Why that person, he is so honest? Because he is a Muslim. Why that person is truthful? He is a Muslim. Why he is not alcoholic or he does not drink? Because he is a Muslim or she is a Muslim. Why they have a good family? Because they are Muslims. Let the people know what the word is. Be a demonstration. So your job is to be a demonstration to the teaching of Islam. And unfortunately for the people that they go and change their names and try to imitate to fit in any given society or any given community, you don't know how much you are losing. You are losing overwhelming. You are losing your ID, you are losing yourself. Anything else you can recover, but when you lose yourself, that is really the fatal loss. Even if you're still breathing and eating and drinking and walking and whatever. The fourth obligation that you have to do, defend on it. Let us face it. Outside that place here, right there, everybody having a negative profile about Islam and Muslim. Who gonna correct that? You, me, you, and you, and you, and you, and everyone. That's our obligation. Our obligation is to change the negative profile. Everyone according to his mean and according to his limit. Being a good neighbor, you are defending on your faith. Doing something, following the footsteps of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are doing, changing the negative profile. But taking the back seat and let somebody else doing it, and we don't know yet who is that next person that he will do it. Unfortunately, there is a lot of objective people that now they study and they know and they do. They are active in the area of a changing negative profile. But they are taking it from another angle, which is the citizenship and the legal rights, and all the citizens have the same rights and the right to worship. But the Muslims themselves, they really need to catch up. In this area, we all. And this is not the job of a learned people or the imams or whatever. Every single one of us is responsible for that. And we will be asked about that. So when you say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, huh? It is not just a word or declaration. Listen to this. If it is an issue of recognition, what did the shaitan said? وَلَا عِزَّتِكَ لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Is that recognition or not recognition? Is that acknowledgement or not acknowledgement? The shaitan saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by your mighty and glory, which is Aziz. It means what? I acknowledge, I know, I testify that none can conquer you or conquer your will. None can conquer you or conquer your will. He is swearing by that. And when Fir'aun was dying, drowning, what he said, Al-an, now I believe by Allah, the God of Bani Israel. That's acknowledgement right there. But what is so good about it? So it is not an issue of acknowledgement. It is an issue of the consequences of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And when Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was saying in this area, من قال لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله دخل الجنة, and everybody picked up this and he forgot another thing. بحقها, that means he will stand up for it. He will fulfill the commitment that got generated from it. The second thing that we need to know is الصلاة. What is الصلاة? الصلاة comes from the word صل. صل that means communicate, connect. When you connect, you sal. Even when you put electricity, you say, wassal al-kahraba by the Arabic. Wassal al-tayyar. That means communicator put the lid to the electricity. Salah, that means not only communicating, but communicating in a state of submission. So the first one, the first pillar of Islam, you declare and you say, this is how I behave. That's me. I am a Muslim. I follow Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. I follow the Quran. I defend on him. I propagate for him. As-salah. What is the purpose of salah? We have to know. For the salah, there are 13 major benefits. I'm going to only talk about one. Inna as-salata تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. That means what? If you want a tool in your life to prevent you from wrongdoing, in a lot of time, we recognize that what we did is wrong after the event or after when we are in it. I shouldn't be doing that, or I shouldn't have done that. But who have the precaution to not to respond? That means preventive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you a tool and says what? The prayer is the preventive measure. And if you look at it, you pray at night or you pray while it is obligation while you are asleep, or it is obligation while you are alive, while you are up. It is obligation while you are up, 5 times a day. When you are asleep, you don't do any sin. You don't do something wrong. But if you want to do right, you can wake up and make qiyam al-layl. That's another story. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. Min ahli al-layl. But during the day, that's when you do your mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saving you, he said, I'm going to give you five reminders every single day. Those 5 reminders will do what? You can get tempted. And you are about to do, before you know it, Allahu Akbar, that's the dhuhr prayer. Something to wake you up. In the prayer time, the dhuhr time, you are about to do something or you did something. Asr prayer coming, Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah. If you did it, at least you're going to go right in and do what? Astaghfirullah. Seek forgiveness. Or you're going to do what? Astaghfirullah. I'm not going to go. Or I'm not going to do. So either I'm going to stop you or immediately remind you by what's in it. So we have to look at the prayer as the immune system inside you, taking care of you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to know. Subhana man la tanfa'uhu ta'a wa la tadurruhu ma'siya. Nothing that you can do benefit Allah, and nothing you can do can harm him. Everything you do is here for your own interest. So, that the prayer here, you have to look at it as tanha an al-fahsha'i wal-munkar. Very quick, another one. وَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ. The first sign of tawbah is the desire to make prayer. The desire to make prayer. وَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ. I like very much Sha'rawi, Rahdwanullah alayhi Imam Sha'rawi, and his interpretation to this area, the prayer. He said the prayer by its own self summed all the five. All the five pillars. How? He said, when you are standing and says Allahu Akbar, that's a tawheed, a declaration of the faith. So that's the first one. When you make the sujood and ruku and standing up, that's what? That is the salah. And the form of the prayer, by the way, that's exactly the form how the angels pray. The zakah. He said, while you are dedicated yourself to pray, you are taking time. And time to you in your life equal value, economic value. You get paid in your job by the time. So if you pray, that means you are doing zakah at the same time. And al-hajj, like I'm going to talk about it, al-hajj, it comes from the word hajj. It means to provide evidence. When somebody talks to you and you say, ma hujjatak, what is your evidence? So al-hajj, it means generic, providing evidence. So when you are physically standing up in the Fajr, in the Isha, in whatever, the prayer time, making your wudu and doing the prayer, you are providing evidence. So you are doing the sum of it. So the prayer here, and Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam said so many things about the prayers, and I urge every one of us, go and see the benefit out of it and the type of it, and inshallah we will all apply it. It comes after that, the fasting. What is fasting means? It is abstaining in general meaning, abstaining from food and drink and sexual behavior from the dawn till the sunset, with the intention to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an act of worship. What is the purpose? I said there are three things we look at it when we look at any of those five pillars. What is the purpose? What am I getting out of it? And if I don't do it, what's going to happen to me? When we come to this, the fasting, what is the purpose of the fasting? What is that great thing about fasting? You look at it, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Baqarah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So, Allah ordained on you fasting like He ordained on the previous nations. For what purpose? To acquire piety. So the purpose of fasting is to do what? Acquire piety. But fasting abstains from food and drink and sexual behavior. For the adult, you and I, there are four major categories of motivation to do wrong. We all want to do right. We all want to go to Jannah. We all want to be pleased with us, or Allah will be pleased with us. But where is those coming from? Where is those shortcomings coming from? Where is the mistake we are doing coming from? They are in four major groups, right one after the top. It comes right in number one, which is the essence and the base of them, the need of the stomach and the biological need. That's what make you forget the consequence of that. Hunger, thirst can motivate you to steal, can motivate you to do a lot of things. The sexual desire can do the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan saying, I'm going to give you a break. I'm going to get you to a training course that it can help you by your choice to do what? To train yourself to control these two major desires. Eating and drinking that make you disobey Allah, and the sexual behavior that make you disobey Allah. And not only that, the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's saying, I'm not only gonna train you, I'm not gonna only show you how you're gonna solve your problem, also I'm gonna get you paid. I'm gonna pay you for training you. So for doing it, I'm rewarding you. And I'm gonna multiply and multiply so you can catch up whatever you missed before. Look at the opportunity of fasting. Do you think the people there, they fast Monday and Thursdays every year, and they must, the last 3 days, 13, 14, 15, whatever, in the middle of the month, and in different occasions. Do you think those people, they are really got some kind of a problem and they like to be hungry and they like to be thirsty? This year we broke a fast 8:45, and it was hot and it was whatever. But you end up being what? You end up saying to yourself, if I can say no to the lawful, I can say no to the forbidden. If I can say no to the eat and drink, which is halal, I can say no to my spouse, and it's considered, I definitely can say no to haram. If I can say no and I proved it, I'm not going to be trained for it. I'm already trained for it. I've been already doing it. I can say no to the halal, the lawful. Don't you think I'd be able to say no to the forbidden? That's the purpose of fasting. Zakah. What does zakah mean? Zakah means a purifying. When you're doing the process of zakah, that means you are purifying. Making, taking whatever foreign substance away from the object, from whatever that is. So, for you, when you are, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordaining a zakah, that means you are purifying yourself. Who is not number one in his or her life? Name of the game is I'm number one. Being number one is a right. That's part of the mechanic of surviving. Being number one, it is not bad. It is not, as long as you are alive, look for number one, but you got to know who is number one. How you define number one. But the most important things, live and let other live. You have to understand that you are not the only one. Because in the risk theory, in fiqh, in sharia, there is a major principle in it. It says what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide to the non-able through the able. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicate and give the able not to him, but to him and to whomever not around him not able. Sick, elders, children, orphans, widows, all of non-ables. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send you rizq, you have to find out for every single unit, every single dollar. Some of that dollar belong to me, some of that dollar belong to others. I have to very find out who are they and give it to them. And we all know the rule of zakah and what the type of different categories of zakah and the percentage of it about the zakah and all of that. But the bottom line is what? If you apply the zakah, Allah can make it rain gold. That's not the issue. The issue is what you developed. You developed, when you do the zakah, you develop person, obey Allah, and can feel by others. Feel responsible for others. It is not me, and I don't care what's happening to the others. No, it is me and them. It is okay to say me. But it is not okay to say it alone. And you put a full stop after it. Me and others is okay. And that's what zakah is all about. And that's what the zakah is all about. Is to provide that. It comes after that, the fifth tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm going to keep saying tools. Tools because they've never been other than tools. Either you use them and get something out of them, or you can play with them, or you can leave them alone. But the most important thing, they will never act for your good till you know how to use them and use them right. And the final product is what gonna judge. The final product, the character, that's what gonna be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looking for. Like I said earlier, al-hajj. What is hajj? Hajj means providing physical evidence. In the Arabic, when somebody claims something and go to the judge, they're gonna say, ma hujjatak. What is your evidence? What is your evidence? So, al-hajj, it means what? Providing the evidence. Providing physical evidence. About what? Providing is evidence about the number one. What is what's number one? It says, I hereby promise to obey none but Allah. And al-hajj, it says what? I am fulfilling that promise. And what is the first thing we say in Hajj? Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. La sharika lak. That's the first thing you say when you are making ihram. Even before you go there. That means I am fulfilling my commitment. Ya Allah, help me. So, al-hajj is a providing a physical evidence about the authentication of your iman and authentication of your promise in la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. Ask Allah to forgive all our sin, all our mistakes, and all our shortcomings, and help us to be a better Muslim. And give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the teaching of the Quran and apply them in our life so we can live in peace and die in peace, and in the hereafter inshallah we'll be in peace and among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. I want to talk a little bit about the Hajj, just the Hajj here. The Hajj, now we all agree that it is a providing physical evidence. But when we're going to come to the issue, how I'm going to provide the physical evidence? You will never find two people will agree to it. Everybody got his own way of doing things, expressing himself or herself, and whatever they said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, you want to provide the evidence? I'm going to show you how to provide the evidence. I'm going to give you evidence that it was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it was performed by a whole entire family. It is not one that means it can be done by the whole family. There is a family provided the evidence for the Hajj, for the unconditional obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to do it, follow the footsteps of this family. Do like what they said, what they did. What did this family, what is the name of this family, and what did this family did? This is the family of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. First of all, listen to this. وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He was on the stage of one of being very extremely knowledgeable about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the issue about Islam here? He already acknowledged, he already challenged, he already did whatever. He already declared a war against the shirk. And the people did to him whatever he did. So what is the issue about Islam? Did that mean what? When it comes to it, I am here to execute Allah's will regardless what this will is. There is no more will to Ibrahim. What Ibrahim want is not an issue. How it's going to cost is not an issue. The most important, what Allah wants. And when I do it, please accept. This is my problem. My problem is doing it and hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. Let us see a demonstration to the submission, the state of submission here. Number one, after all the bright, clear, very good history for a man in belief and fighting for belief and. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he gets his son Ismail, he was 86 years old. Now you can imagine how much love he got for that baby. And his mother, now you are taking that baby, and you are taking his mother, Hajar, and you are taking them to right in the middle of the desert, where is no living soul is there, there is no one sip of water, there is nothing in there. The chances of living, if even if you are in luxury, heat will kill you, cold will kill you, nevertheless, whatever else, snakes and whatever there is, your chances of getting killed. And you have now a princess, because she was the Egyptian princess. Hajar was the Egyptian princess. That means royalty. Being raised to be servant, not even to be a servant herself. She got captured, and whatever, you all know the story. But the bottom line, she's in the worst position that anyone can be in. Any mother can be in, and she got her baby with her. And when he started to walk away, she ran after him. Ya Ibrahim, what's got into you? Why you are leaving us? Why you are leaving us? He wouldn't answer. Why you are leaving us? He wouldn't answer. And after that, she asked him, did Allah order you to do? He had his head. She said, "Ishab inna Allah la yudhi'ana." What kind of a confident did this? Go, Allah will never let us go astray. Allah will look after us. What does reality say? You are dead. What does the confidence say? What does the belief say? No, I'm surviving. And that baby survived. Can you imagine for a second what's going on in Ibrahim's heart? In Hajar's heart? That is providing evidence. It's not talking. It's not when I can. These are not dealing with something they own like money, knowledge, power. They are dealing with their own soul. What in the stick here, their own existence. The most valuable thing to you and to me and to everybody, which is your soul. That's what they are dealing with. This is the material of providing the evidence. And now, Sayyidina Ismail, once in a while I see my father, he goes back and forth at least once a year. And now, he about 7 years old, 7 to 8 years old, and now he is coming out of a blue sky to tell me, Ya Bunay, inni ara fil manami inni adbahuk. Oh my son, I see in my dream that I'm slaughtering you. Look at the type, what kind of a belief Ibrahim has in his heart. He is not been asked, give your son to death, but he even get the most dear one to you to by your own hand to do it. Not to kill, not to have him killed, but you the one who will execute it. You are the one who will do it. Is that a providing evidence or not providing evidence? And if that is not providing evidence, what can be providing evidence? If that not a certificate of sincerity and loyalty and love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what those will be? So now we know what the mother did. And now we know there another trial to the father and to the mother again. But look at the child that got raised with the good father and the good mother. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ لَاعِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you children just to give you children. This is a responsibility and a contract and a commitment. You have a child. A child is now, we can say he had 20 or 30 years of knowledge about Allah and about Tawheed, and he understands, and oh, child. What he is saying? Ya Abati, number one, if'al ma tu'mar. Do what you have been ordered to do. Satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. I will be among the patient one. And I was talking about the patient last week. And in the author, what did he really say in the interpretation? He said, Father, sharpen up your knife. Sharpen your knife. Lay me on my right side. Come from my back. Don't come from my front. When you lay me on my side, come from my back. And do what you've been ordered to do. Why he's saying that? He said, I am afraid. When you are doing what you've been ordered to do, your eyes, if you come from the front, your eyes will have a contact with my eyes, you will change your heart. Or you will be reluctant or slow in doing it. That means I want you to execute Allah's command as soon as possible. And doing it without regret. With my whole due respect to everyone, that can show you the quality of the Muslim child, and these are the qualities that you and I will be asked and the mothers will be asked about. And don't come and tell me these are some kind of angels. They are a human being, they suffer like you do, they love like you do, they cry like you do, and they smile like you do. But they did the job the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. Allah bless their families and bless their children, and he gave you example. Look at the level of the belief that child is doing. What kind of attitude, what kind of a principle the mother put in his heart. 7 or 8 years old. Allah is number one. Not Allah is number one when I have a time, or when I have the money, or when I have the chance. Allah is number one, and period after it. That's for the people that want to provide the Hajj. And you know the rest of the story, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fadahu bi kabshin azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that, he have a mercy on Ibrahim and on Sayyidina Ismail. But without these incidents, it isn't the landmark in the history of the mankind. This is the attitude of a sincere people. This is the attitude of a successful family. This is the product of a good father and a good mother. It is not a good father or a good mother, the one that run day and night to make sure that the children, they will have the best of the best. There is nothing wrong with that. But the priority here is wrong. Sayyidina Sulaiman was rich. Was rich. And even when he made dua, he said what? Allah, give me a kingdom. None will have after me. And he was. There is nothing wrong with being rich or being poor either. The most important thing is what you do with what you got. And where the priority is. when you go for two jobs and you neglect your family, there is something wrong in here. To pay bills and bills after bills and you don't even enjoy what you are having. And it comes to the point, you and whomever living, the tenants, I call them now the tenants, not the family, the tenants in where you live, you have no clue about them. Maybe you are familiar with their faces and names, but you don't know anything about them. Time to slow down. Slow down. So the Hajj is what? Providing physical evidence. How you are, what is the measure to do that? Look at the family of Sayyidina Ibrahim. And that's immediately now going to open, because very close, inshallah, it's going to come the khutbah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, about how to prepare yourself to be ahead of a household. And when I say a head of a household, I don't mean a man only. I mean the head of a household is the unit of the man and woman collectively. That's the head of the household. And how to deal and how to start to formulate the house, what is the character, what even should be in your home. And after that, inshallah, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put the categories and put how to raise your children. Inshallah, it will be part of all of that. But the most important thing, you cannot help others if you don't know how to help yourself first. You cannot be kind to anyone if you do not know how to be kind for yourself. There is nothing worse in life that you do something based on perceptions, not based knowing what exactly you do. There is nothing more damaging. Nothing can be more damaging to you more than you do something, just it is happening and you are out of the control of it, or you don't really know, you don't vividly know clearly what is this step going to lead to. And we have a very good example for providing the evidence, inshallah, in Surah Ibrahim, in Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance. Amen. And ask Him to bless our gatherings. Amen. And give us the peace and tranquility. Amen. And help us to be a good head of a household. Amen. And help us to raise our children and raise everybody in our family the way that it's supposed to, the way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And help us to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply Him in our life. So we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and inshallah in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Ibadallah, qulu la ilaha illallah with the meaning in the heart, obeying none but Allah. I'm not going to obey myself. I am not going to obey anyone, whatever that one is, or any group, whatever that group.